Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. It's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife, Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be able to come back once again into your home, just reaching the world for Christ. This is the Lloyd and Betty Yearwood. So we're just so thankful tonight to be able to come on and lift up the name of Jesus. You know, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. So if you want to be a part of this service tonight, well, call in on 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. And we'll put you right on the line with us. Our subject tonight is come unto me. So, you know, the Lord is asking everybody to come unto him and to repent of their sins. And, you know, without we do that, we cannot make heaven our home. So we've all got to repent. So everybody just call in and be a part of this service at 42-1759. So we're just thankful to be able to come back and lift up the name of Jesus, reaching the world today for the Lord.
Yes.
So 706, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hey, Brother Yearwood, this is Frida Lipsville in Thomaston, Georgia. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, sister?
I'm doing pretty good.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, you want to go ahead and obey the Lord?
Well, let me give you some prayer requests before I get started.
Okay.
I just found out my mom's got COPD, and they had to put her, she was supposed to have a procedure done this morning, and her oxygen level was too low, so they couldn't do it. So remember her, and remember my youngest daughter and my granddaughter, and remember me. I found out today I'm a little bit overweight. My blood pressure was a little bit elevated. So I'm going to be reading from John 6:35-37. It says, he was burning. He was a burning and a shining light. And ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. For I have greater witnessing than that of John. For the words which the Father hath given me. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. Sorry. I didn't think that was right. Oh, here it is. It's John 6:35-37. I was reading 5:37. Okay, and it says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. And I'm going to read one more, and I'm going to be coming from John 13:15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Back to you, Brother Yearwood.
Okay, appreciate that wonderful word there, sister. You just read 770. I'm going to tell us who you are and where you're at.
Praise the Lord, brother. This is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise the Lord. Glad you called in there, Brother John. So just go ahead and obey the Lord. You know, our subject tonight is come unto me. So let's go ahead and, well, let me get this other caller in right here.
Go ahead.
937, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
That's probably me, Brother Yearwood. This is Brother Evangelist Clint Green. We're in Springboro, Ohio. And just listening in tonight to your broadcast, and may say something a little later, so I'll be listening in.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and let Brother John go ahead and obey the Lord there then. Brother John,
okay.
Let's go ahead.
Tonight we are speaking about coming unto me, Tucky, talking about the Lord, coming unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know if anybody's brought this out, but one of the main chapters that we were talking about and praying about when we were seeking the face of God about tonight's broadcast is out of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. It says, come unto me. It's talking about following him. That word come there means to actually follow him. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you come unto the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, all of you that are laboring, all those of you that are weary, all those of you that have burdens, amen, that you're pulling and trying to bring it along. The Bible says when you come unto him, when you come and begin to follow him, he brings you to a point of his rest, amen, and brings you to a point of the rest of the Lord. To take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. You know, that yoke is a cross staff, and it's actually something you use as your yoke together to pull, amen, the load. And as we take the yoke of Christ upon us, as we take that, amen, and yoke up to Jesus Christ, that's where we begin to learn. When we begin to walk with him and are yoked with him, amen, hallelujah, we begin to pull together. The Bible says we're workers together in the vineyard of the Lord. We begin to learn of him. We begin to know him. We begin to communicate with him, amen. We begin to stay with him. When you have, first of all, though, you have to come unto him. You have to come unto him to receive this rest. You have to come unto him to have that heavy burdens and labor, amen, for you to enter into the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you have to take that yoke as you begin to pull together, amen, and Christ pulling, amen, and taking that burden from you. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 5 that the meek inherit the earth, amen. So we're promised, amen, that here's not one that's brazen, but here's one that we learn of his meekness. As we learn of his meekness, then we learn of the inheritance, amen. We learn of the lowliness. We learn of the humility, amen. And the Bible says, he that humbles himself, when we come unto him, we learn humility. And the Bible says humility is before honor, amen. And so the Lord exalts, amen, and gives honor after that humility and after that lowliness, amen. As we come and just abase ourselves and humble ourselves in his very sight under the yoke, under the hand of the mighty hand of God. Then he says, find meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. This is the rest wherein the weary is to rest. This is the rest, amen, that evens the rest of your life, amen. This is that there are many of you that are weary. You know, the Bible speaks of in Galatians, amen, chapter 6. It says, be not weary and well-doing, for thou shalt reap if thou faint not in due season. And so we have to come unto Jesus for a refreshing. We have to come unto him for a rest. He said, take my yoke, for my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. So when you come on there, when you take on the yoke of Christ, amen, it's easy. You don't feel the weight of it, amen, because Christ is pulling, amen. He's doing works, amen. It's his works, amen. The Bible says my burden is light. When we take on the burden of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not something that will weigh you down. It's not something that will drag you down, but it is something that will enlighten you. It was something that will give you a revelation tonight. And amen, as I began, amen, as Brother Yearwood talked about the different things, when this first started out, when the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with me yesterday, amen, and I know Brother Yearwood, we were seeking the face of God, and he started talking about many different scriptures that had come into me, but as I began to go into this scripture, then God began to direct me, the Holy Spirit began to direct me, amen, even deeper in this same path, amen, this is the path of life, so. You have your Bible, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4. Amen. God just seemed to want to go deeper into this realm. Amen. Deeper into these scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 3, amen, and starting with verse 7, it says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice. No, today is the accepted time to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is the accepted time for you to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, and draw nigh to him. Then the Bible says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice. harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. That's in the time of the rebellion. This was in the time of the wilderness when the children of Israel, amen, had been brought out of Egypt, and they'd been brought out of their bondage, amen, and they'd been brought, amen, and been delivered by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they were coming, being delivered, amen, they come into a place, amen, a place of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey. And many said, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. That means in the rebellion, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. In other words, in the day of your trial, when they were in the wilderness, amen, amen, they come. This was the place of promise, amen, as they come there in the brook of Eshcol and just the valley there and the place of promise, amen. God has promised them a place of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey. Tonight, if you'll get in the Word of God, it is a land full, amen, it is a book that is a promised land full of milk and honey that's flowing tonight. Amen, if you'll just come and begin to walk in the Word of God tonight, as you'll come unto Jesus Christ, He will give you that rest. Amen, and the Bible says He instructed them here in the book of Hebrews that they begin already hardened their heart, even like as unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh heart was hardened, and he wouldn't let the people go. Amen. And you know why? A lot of times, amen, as they were there in the wilderness, they began to harden their hearts, and they wouldn't let the things of the world go. There are some of you underneath the sound of my voice tonight, amen, that you hardened your heart against the Lord Jesus Christ. You hardened your heart against, amen, that when you have come unto Him instead of coming under that rest, you've hardened your heart, amen, and you just wouldn't let the things of the world go. Amen, and you come to a place of rebellion against the Lord. It says, when your fathers, verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. You know, if the fathers, amen, that came there, they saw the place of promise. If they saw how bountiful it was, they saw the fruit. They saw the land growing with milk and honey. Amen. They had physically seen it, wandering around, well, walked around in it at first, amen, for 40 days, and then ended up wandering about. You know, church, you can walk in the blessings of God tonight. You can walk in the promises of God. You can come unto Jesus Christ, amen, and enter into a finished work of His rest tonight. Either that or you can end up wandering all the days of your life. That's what the children of Israel did. The older ones, amen, as they began, because they, by unbelief, they were excluded from the things of promise. The Bible says, verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. This was a generation of wanderers. These were a generation that had revolted and rebelled against God. These were a generation that said truly, amen, that just like He said, to go and possess the land. But there was giants in the land. There was this in the land. There was that in the land. But you have to understand tonight, amen, no matter what's in your land, the Lord Jesus Christ is there. He said, come unto me, amen. And as you come unto Jesus Christ tonight, you're coming unto Him and entering into a rest wherein the weary is to rest. You might be heavy laden tonight. You might be laboring tonight with all the things. Amen. You need to know tonight that you can't labor enough to ever retire, because the one thing is your work will never ever be done in that sense. Amen. You can never work enough, amen, that you can enter in. But I'm talking about a rest tonight. Amen. That's the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about going into the place of promise. And the Bible says in verse 11, so I swear my wrath. He made an oath, amen, that they shall not enter into my rest. In His wrath on that time when they proved Him, amen, and provoked Him to anger and provoked Him to wrath, He made an oath in Himself. He's an immutable counsel. He said, I swear my wrath that they will never enter into my rest. They will never enter into my place of promise. So He had to wait, amen, amen, and for them, amen, to perish in the wilderness. He said, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. He said He wanted to take one. We need to take warning tonight, church. We need to take warning, amen, because we will depart from the living God. We'll depart from the very best thing that we've ever had. Amen. We'll depart because we've come to a heart of unbelief. We've come to a hardened heart. We've come to a place of unbelief. We begin to err in our heart. There is a spirit of error. And you need to know tonight, He said, but exhort one another daily while it's called today,
today. We need to exhort one another. We need to lift one another up. Don't let a day go by that you don't exhort the body of Christ. Don't let a day go by that you don't exhort and lift up your neighbor. Let a day go by that you don't exhort and lift up your enemy. Don't let a day go by that you don't exhort everyone that's around you. He said, do it while it's called today. In other words, this is the day of exhortation, church. This is the day of lifting one another up. This is the day, he said, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, if we don't come unto him, we're going to begin to be deceived by the sin that's in our life. We need to know tonight that when we come unto him, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. For our sins to be taken away, we have to come unto him. We have to come unto Jesus. We used to sing a song years ago, come unto Jesus. And give him your life today. You need to come unto Jesus no matter what you're going through tonight, no matter what sin, no matter what hardship, no matter what trouble, no matter what trial, no matter what temptation. If you're in the wilderness tonight, even if you're in the king's palace tonight, you need to come unto Jesus. There's not a one of you, it doesn't matter what you have or don't have, but you need to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come unto Jesus no matter where you're at tonight. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. In other words, when we come, church, it's time for us to hold on to Jesus. When you see Jesus, hold on to him. When you see the hope, amen, of glory, hold on to it. When you see, amen, the resurrection and the life, hold on to it. When you see Jesus, for you to see him, you got to come to him first. You got to walk to him. Amen. He said, verse 15, while it said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. As in the provocation, amen. Tonight, have you heard the voice of God? Many of you, God has spoken, yea, once, twice, but man has not perceived it. God has spoken, and yet at the time that he has spoken, we've hardened our hearts. Many have hardened their hearts. There were 12 spies sent out, 10 of them, amen, hardened their hearts in the day of the provocation, in the day of the rebellion, amen, and they fell, amen, in the wilderness, they fell. Because of what they had seen in the place. They didn't see the promises. Amen. They saw the things. Amen. As God had already instructed them, they were well able to possess the land. He said, go in and possess the land. Go in and possess the houses that you didn't build. Go in and eat the vineyards that you didn't plant. Amen. Go in. Amen. Hallelujah. To a land that was not yours that I've given unto thee. Go into a land where the Lord, amen, had driven out, amen, before them. Amen. And they walked into a place of possession, a place of promise, a place of abundance. Verse 16, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Moses, of Egypt by Moses. Here's what happened. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? So here the writer's asking, well, who was he grieved with for these 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Wasn't he grieved with the ones who had sinned and grieved the Holy Spirit? Verse 18, yeah. And to whom swear he that he should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? He swore by an oath that those that didn't believe, their unbelief excluded them. Church tonight, your unbelief and not coming to Jesus Christ, the hardening of your heart, the deceitfulness of sins, not coming unto the Lord Jesus Christ, will exclude you from the place of promise, from the day of promise, from the land of promise, from every promise of God tonight. And the Bible says in chapter 4, verse 1, says, let us therefore fear. In other words, we need to respect less of promise being left us of entering into his rest, and you should seem to come short of it. Tonight, we cannot, amen, afford to come short of the promises of God tonight, church. There's a promise that he's given, amen, and the only way that we can come short of it, if we don't come in unbelief. If they had godly fear, he told them to have a godly fear, lest his promise being left of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of the promises. Church, tonight, we don't need to come up, amen. The Bible says that we, amen, all have come short of the glory of God. But tonight, God has a promise for you. Now, Lord Jesus Christ is his promise, is his salvation, is his Savior. And as we come into the promises of God, as we come into, as he sends the promise of his Spirit upon each and every one of us, whosoever will ask, he said, I will give unto the Holy Ghost, amen, whosoever will ask. And tonight, amen, as we come to him and begin to ask for his Spirit. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached. This is a finished work. Preached. It was already preached as well as to them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You can hear the voice of God tonight, but but that doesn't mean that you have faith. You can hear the word of God tonight, but that doesn't mean you've mixed it with faith. And, amen, there's a lot of epoxy hardeners, amen, and sealants and things that you got to mix two things. Tonight you're going to mix your faith, amen, with the word of God. That's what brings the word of God. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing in Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It comes. In other words, we got to come into the Word. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwell among us. You got to come into the Word. We've got the written Word. We've got the living Word. We've got the Word of God. But not only do we have the Word of God, there has to be a hearing of that Word of God. And that hearing of the Word of God will bring faith, because you can't enter into the promise of God without mixing the Word with faith. You got to stir it up together. Amen. And faith comes by your hearing tonight. Amen. Your hearing comes by the word. Amen. And the word comes by coming unto Jesus tonight. You got to come unto him to enter into his rest. And the Bible says in verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You have to understand something tonight, that the works, these were finished works. These were finished works that we, tonight we've got to enter. The reason why some of you haven't got the victory tonight, you haven't entered into the finished work yet. You haven't entered into the finished product. You're still a man out there by your unbelief. It's excluding you from the finished works. Amen. All the works of the Lord Jesus Christ is finished. When he hung on the cross at the end there, he said, it is finished. This is the finished work. Every work that he's done is finished. It's completed. He didn't leave anything undone. The Bible says, I believe it's in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Let me turn over there real quick. Revelation 14 and 13 says this. Hallelujah. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. In other words, all those that are blessed that die the death of righteousness. Amen. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. In other words, when they died in the Lord, they entered into a spiritual rest. Amen. And their works followed them. Amen. And their works were the rewards. Amen. Hallelujah. And they rested from their labors. Their labors for who? Who are you working for tonight? Who are you working
Lord
for tonight?
Lord Jesus Christ.
Who is your labor tonight? Amen. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Who are you working for? If you haven't come unto Jesus, you're not working for him. You're laboring for yourself. Amen. Come unto me all. What did he say? Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Who are you laboring for tonight? You're laboring for yourself. That's why you're tired. That's why you're worn out, because you're laboring for yourself. You're laboring without the help of Jesus Christ. You're laboring, amen. The Bible says there is a way to...
Praise the Lord.
Did we lose him?
Must have.
Oh, man.
304, come in and tell us who you are and where you're at.
You say 304?
Yes.
I'm Pastor England Rock from Harvest Time Church of God in Charleston, West Virginia.
Praise the Lord there, brother. We're glad you called in there. We must have just lost our other preacher that was a preacher in there. So, well, let's see.
I'm back, brother.
Okay.
What happened?
Okay, we'll let Brother John go ahead and finish up, brother, then we'll get you on there next.
All right.
Go ahead there, Brother John.
All right, and I'm glad I wasn't lost, but Colbride got lost tonight. You know what? The enemy doesn't want this to come forth. People to hear the word of God tonight. Chapter 4, verse 4, for he spake in a certain place on the seventh day, on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place, again, talking about the seventh day, it was a day of rest. It was a blessed place of rest. If they shall enter into my rest. You have to understand, this is his yoke, his rest, his burden. None of this is yours tonight, church.
No, it's not.
Some of you have, it's your labors. It's your works. See, we have to cease from the works. What works? The works of the flesh. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 22, it talks about the works of the flesh. talks about idolatry, talks about adultery, talks about revilings, it talks about all these things, and it gives a list of what is our works, the works of the flesh. But when you enter in by faith tonight, when you come unto Jesus, those works cease, and it's just like a seventh day, amen, time of rest. Because it's the seventh day, because the seventh day is the day, amen, that he ceased from his own works. The Bible says in Genesis 2 and 2, and on the seventh day, he rested. Because it was a finished work. He had done the creative work in 6 days, and on the seventh day, amen, he said, he limited it on that seventh day, when the seventh day was a time of rest. Entering into his rest, when the seventh day is a place, it's a time, it's a spiritual place that we can come to. It's a Sabbath, it's a Sabbath, it's a rest. Amen. One man esteemeth one day above another, one man esteemeth every day the same. When you can enter in, this is the Lord's rest. This is not only a day, this is a spiritual time and a place where we can enter into, because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of rest. When you come unto Jesus Christ, you're coming unto a rest. You're ceasing from your work. You come into a place of promise. Amen. And you're ceasing from the work. When the children of Israel got there to the land of promise, God wanted them to cease from the works of their flesh. And not only them, but us today. We have a place. We have a day. Amen. Amen. That is limited to a place of a day of rest. Amen. But you know what? When you enter into the Sabbath, it doesn't make any difference whether you worship the Lord on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Now, I know some of you out there wouldn't agree with me with that, but the Apostle Paul said, one man esteemeth every day the same. I don't know about you, but every day is the same. That this is the day that the Lord hath made. Amen. It's a time of worship. It's a time of praise. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a time, amen, hallelujah, that I can, amen, just rejoice and enjoy the Lord any day of the week that it is. Amen, hallelujah. And we thank amen. The Lord tonight, amen, that I can enter into his rest no matter. I can enter into his rest on every day that ends in Y. Amen. And aren't you glad tonight that you can enter into his rest on every day that ends in Y? And we need to know tonight, amen, that in verse 5 he said, in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seem therefore remaineth that some must enter therein. You see, some were excluded because of their unbelief. And they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. What did the father say with the one father there, his son there, and he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Here were the children of Israel, and they had fallen into unbelief in the place of promise. There are some of you underneath the sound of my voice right now. You've been in the land of promise. You've been in the day of promise. You've been in the time of promise. You've been before the Lord of promise. You've been standing in the promises of God, been all around you, just like the other 10 spies. But you know what? You still didn't believe it was the promise. You still didn't believe it was the possession. You still didn't go in and take what God had given you. Tonight, church, it's time for you to come, enter into his rest, and receive his promise. Enter into his rest and receive his promise. See, it's not your promise tonight. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, all the promises of God, amen, amen, hallelujah, they have been, amen, not one's been broken, amen, not one has not been done, and hallelujah. And the Bible says this, again, he limits a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. This is the day of the finished works. This is the day of rest. This is the day of his rest. He said to David, David, in this time of rest, in this time, he said, David, don't harden your heart. Turn to me. Tonight, church, don't harden your heart in this day of promise, in this time of promise. When is this time of promise? Right now. When is this day of promise? Right now. When is this rest appointed unto us? Right now. But tonight, church, you have to mix it with faith. You have to mix it with belief. You have to mix it, and you have to come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. And he said, for if Jesus had given them rest, they would not have afterward have spoken of another day. There are many that are looking for another day, another time, another Jesus, another gospel. Church, you don't have to look any other place. When Jesus said in John chapter 6, he is the bread of life, amen. Even as Sister Free was reading out chapter 6, hallelujah. He said, except ye eat of my blood and eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part of me. He was talking about spiritual, amen. Amen, of having communion and being in communion with him, because he was that bread that come down from heaven. He was the bread of life tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Church, you've got to eat it. How do you eat it? You get in his word and you eat the roll. You eat it. you get in the Word, amen, and consume the Word into your life. And as you consume the Word, it will give you life, amen. And as you begin to drink of the blood of this New Testament, amen, because this, he said, this cup is my blood in the New Testament, the New Covenant, amen. Hallelujah. The blood, it's new blood, it's new wine, it's a new spirit coming into the new man and new woman, amen. Amen. There's new wineskins. He's putting you in new bottles. He's making all things new. It's a promise of new. God doesn't give you a second hands or rebuild, amen. Now, he does rebuild our lives. He rebuilds the broken places, but the thing is, tonight, he's making all things new for you tonight, amen. He's making all things because he's the creator, amen. He is the processor. He is the manufacturer of creation, amen. Hallelujah. You didn't evolve from something, but you were created by him and him alone tonight, church. You need to know, amen, as you come, amen, hallelujah. For he that enters into his rest, he hath also seeks from his own works as God did from his. How many of you are seeking for his rest tonight? First step you got to do, seek from your own works. You got to take off your yoke. You got to take off your burden. You got to take off all your labor, and you got to come unto Jesus. Amen. You know, the Bible says it's talking about a rich man, amen, how hard it was for him to enter into heaven. He said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle there in the wall of Joppa, amen. It's called with the eye of the needle, amen. The opening, amen, where beasts of burdens like camels would go enter in and in out. And the only way they could get in, the first thing they had to do was get down on their knees, amen. And then the master of that beast, amen, would have to remove every burden. And as that camel went through that eye of the needle, it would just barely make it through. Church, we just barely would make it through, amen, hallelujah. We have to have the master, the Lord Jesus Christ, remove the burdens that we've got to get down on our knees, and we'll go right through that eye of the needle. That's how, because all things are possible with him tonight. And the Bible said, but we've got to come unto him. Verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into his rest. What does that mean? He said, you got to work to enter into this rest. Where do you got to work to? Where do you got to labor to? You got to labor with Jesus Christ. You got to be yoked with him. You got to come unto him. Amen. To enter into that rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We'll stop right there. This is the thing. The word of God is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going to think. He knows all about you tonight, church. Do you know all about him? Tonight, this time, this hour, this is the day. This is the day of promise. This is the day of rest. This is the day of putting on his yoke. This is the day of putting on his burden. This is the day of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come ye unto him, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and the Lord will give you rest. Take his yoke upon you and learn of him, for he's meek and lowly. Amen. And tonight, will you come unto him? Will you come unto Jesus? As you come unto him, because one day he's coming back for you. But first of all, you got to come unto him. Right now, you can give your heart to him. Right now, you can come unto him. Right now, at this very moment, you can give your life to him. Right now, all over this globe, right now, you can come unto him and take on the yoke of Jesus Christ and enter into a place of promise like you've never been before. Go ahead, Brother Yearwood.
Amen. I appreciate that. Both John and the wonderful word of God there. 304?
Yes, sir.
We're ready for you there now. I was wondering about something. You've got a revival going on up there, and you've had how many days of it straight now without missing a night?
Tonight is night 101 without a single night of rest, without a single night of giving up. We've had a preacher in the pulpit every night for 101 nights.
Praise the Lord.
Man.
Praise God.
In 100 nights, we've had over 80 either dedications or rededications back to the Lord. Yeah, you say after about 20 or so, you lose count.
Amen.
Well, I tell you what,
we've been following you along on the internet there and counting the nights, sir, that you've been in the revival, and we've been enjoying the reports that we get from you there. And we just want you to go ahead and obey the Lord there and just go ahead and tell us about the deal there with feeding the people and giving them the, their shelters and everything there.
All right. You say in about 2009, we opened a soup kitchen and a homeless shelter. And you say, our shelter, or let's start with the first things first, is our shelter. You say we've sheltered over 14,000 sheltered nights to date. So we over 14,000 nights somebody's been in our church. We actually shelter in the fellowship hall itself. At times when the overflow fills clear up, we've had as many as 45, 50 men, and we've had to take some of them in the sanctuary, move the pews around, put up costumes, so they get to actually go to church all night long. But we have fed, to this date, almost 300,000 hot meals across our counter, and we've given away over a half a million pounds of food without any federal grant money, state grant money. It's all been on the donation and kind and heart of people itself that God laid it on their hearts.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I tell you, that just touches my heart. That just,
it sure to know does.
Somebody up there right. That's willing to sacrifice like you've sacrificed, I tell you, it just there's not words to to speak how the blessing that it is just to you or something like that. So go ahead.
Well, when I took over as senior pastor, you say from that point on, there's not been a single paid position in the church. The church does not pay anybody, don't pay any salaries for anybody, don't pay anybody's car payments, cell phone, it don't do nothing. Everything's a volunteer status. You say the church does not pay for anybody. So, and that's one of the biggest things that I like kind of making people know that, because they feel upset about giving to a church thinking that somebody's paying their salaries or this or that or, you know, but I just want everybody to know that if you give this ministry, 100% of it goes into the overhead, which is the light bulb itself. You know, nobody gets no salary. It goes for electric, water, gas. You know, it goes for all that. Nobody collects nothing out of it.
Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Just go ahead and obey the Lord, there, brother.
Well, I'm getting ready to go into your 101, and I wanted to sneak over and call you all, but. I'd just like to tell you, you know, keep up the faith, but definitely keep up the works, because faith without work is truly dead. And I think that's
Amen.
One of the biggest problems Amen. Of America today. We've become a give it to me society. Give me. My name is Jimmy, and nobody is willing to work their faith anymore. You got Amen. To put legs on your prayers. If you want God to bless you, you can't hide in the closet and wait for Him to send the blessing till He calls it. He blesses you through your employment. He blesses you through your contacts. But you know, He blesses you when you're out doing His work. If you sit at home and wait for the blessing, He will not knock on your door and bring it in your house. He wants to bless you, but He wants you to get up and do something for Him. Because if there's more in me than there is in the world, the only way for the world to see Him is for me to get the more of Him out there in the public view. I got to get out in the public view. I got to get in the world so that the world may see Christ through me.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. That was wonderful.
But Pastor, I really appreciate the few moments to talk about it. You know, Jess Inklinrock, and we're on Facebook, and I'm on your wife's Facebook right now. I've a friend request. If anybody wants to send me a friend request, I don't believe you never have too many friends. But if anybody would like to help us, all the information's on my webpage. I share it a lot. You say we're coming up on the cold time of season, and the bills are going to get higher than usually the income. A lot of times, right now, a lot of our people that was donating and helping us have now, because of the economy, have now become people that we have to help. The economy's taken such a turn now up here in West Virginia that a lot of our donators have now been reduced to taking, you know, from the church now itself. And it's just times are getting worse and worse and worse. And if this country don't turn itself around, I don't believe, brother, we got much longer before Christ comes back. I think He's got His horse ready. I think He's looking over his shoulder, waiting for dad to say, go collect my kids. It is time. I'm sick and tired of this world. I love them, but their sin is such an awful stench to me. I can't take it. Go collect my church. Bring my children home. And I think right now it's such an imperative that we ours. Work as hard as we can for the kingdom, because time is rapidly running out. And anybody who says, "Lord, come quickly," you know, it kind of makes me cringe, because I have this feeling. If you say, "Lord, come quickly," you're saying, "Lord, send some of my family to hell. Lord, send some of my friends to hell." I always pray, "Lord, give me another day. Lord, give me another chance. Lord, you gave me chance after chance after chance. Lord, please extend the chance to them too. I know that you're a God of mercy, but I know one day you're going to lift that mercy. It's going to be completely judgment. But Lord, please, today, while there's mercy, give me the opportunity to be your mouthpiece one more day. Please, I got family, I got friends."
Yes, we do.
Amen. I'm praying for you, Pastor. I'm praying for you, Pastor, down there. You say you keep up the good work. You keep spreading the word. You know, brother, you say, because if we don't get the word out, there's some people, I can promise you, if we don't do our job, they will be people that will go to hell because preachers sit down in the pulpit and did not preach the blood of Jesus Christ. I can tell you there is no other way to the kingdom. It says no man come except he come by me. And if you ain't washed in the blood, I don't care how much. I could feed 10 million people, but if my heart ain't right with Jesus, if I haven't been washed in the blood, all the good things I've done here are for naught, because I can't make it on works alone. Works will not get me into the kingdom. So at the end of the day, it's all about Christ. It's all about him. But, Pastor, I do appreciate you. I love all you all. I thank you all. You know, you got my number there, Pastor. You feel free to give me a call anytime you can. We'll hook up. If I get down that way, I'd love to stop down and see you. If you get up here, I invite anybody who can hear me to stop on in. Yes, I'll treat you so many different ways. You bound to like one of them. We'll make you feel right at home. Yes, so we love everybody. I don't care. I don't care who you are or what you've done, because I have a past. We all have a past. But thank God, he don't remember my past. But amen. Bless you all. I'm going into night 101. You all please keep us in prayer, because I believe there's another soul somewhere in the building that's waiting to come home.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, brother, we'll be keeping in touch with you, and me and my wife done been talking today. Lord makes way some way. We're going to come up there and be with you in some of them services.
Well, we'd love to have you.
So,
but you all have a blessed evening. Let's go have some church.
Okay. Just remember us and pray for us.
I most certainly will, Pastor. Bless all you all. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Oh, man, that was wonderful.
Praise the Lord. I tell you, 101 night revival,
man.
Straight without missing a night. That's a revival, ain't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Brother Green?
Hi, Brother Yearwood.
Go ahead there, Sister Green.
Praise God. He's going to let me go first here. And, boy, we sure enjoyed that there, Pastor, from West Virginia. And, you know, that's what we got to do, is be about the Father's business. And
we're talking
tonight about being weary of all them that are heavy laden. God to give us rest. And I was thinking here in John 4:6, talks about, now Jacob, well, was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And, Brother Yearwood, I was thinking about Jesus, how he came to his own, and his own received him not. He is the Word, and how he came in the flesh, and how his own didn't even receive him. But here he was in a physical body, and him being weary of his journey, and how in a physical sense. But there was a woman from Samaria, and how she came to draw water, and how Jesus, though he was weary in physical, he wasn't weary in spirit. You know the story there, how he had told her to drink of this water, that she wouldn't thirst again of the water that he gave her. And I was thinking how, you know, sometimes we may get weary in this, and we may physically get tired of having to get up every morning and go to our jobs, and you know, it's another day, and we thank the Lord that we do have another day. We thank God every morning that, you know, we even wake up, and you know, but it's hard to get going, and I'm going to tell you, there's depression that is running rapid, even in the church, praise the Lord, and the devil's trying to attack the children of God and trying to
yes.
put oppression and depression and,
yes.
and trying
yes.
to make them weary. And he said not to be weary in well-doing. But, you know, it's not a sin to be weary because Jesus was weary and a physical body. But, you know, he sent out those two by two. He sent them out into the city, and he said not to take script and not to take things with them that, you know, the Lord was going to provide for them. Praise God. And said, if you enter into a house and they don't receive you, he said to shake the dust off your feet and to go on. So I love what the pastor said there, that we got to put works, we got to put legs to our with our works. We've got to go out. We've got to do something. He said it won't come knocking at your door. I can't remember if that was Pastor John or the pastor from West Virginia, but somebody just said that. And I was thinking how we got to get out and we got to go do something. But we are physically drained sometimes.
Yes.
Though we feel like sometimes that just the cares of the world have beaten us down. And even our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was weary when he got to Jacob's well. But God gave him strength. In the spirit, you know, praise God, where the spirit of God, the Lord is, there's liberty, and Jesus found it within himself to go ahead and to not to be so weary in his physical body that, well, I just think I'll just be quiet, that this woman came along, and I don't think I'll testify to her today, I think I'll just be quiet. You know, we better not be like that, we better be Christ-like, and find it within us to have compassion on people. And verse 7 says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And the disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, that wouldest have asked of me, and he would have given the living water. Praise God. So Jesus could have right there, he could have been quiet. He could have not said a word to her. But, you know, he found it within him, his spirit, to strength, to go ahead and to talk to this lady about the Lord. Praise God. And for he is the Lord. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which give us the well and drink thereof himself and has and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And we know the story, how she went out and she said to the city, she said, come see a man, praise God, and how they all came, and then they all believed, because not because of her saying, because they had heard for themselves with Christ Jesus, how he has the water that will give everlasting life. But I just thought about how Jesus was weary and how we get weary in the physical. But he said to be weary and not to be weary and faint not. You know, and that's in the well-doing of in the Lord, of our children come to our house and we're getting ready to go to church. And we must not just stay home because the children now have come. You know, when they come over, we'll say, you come and go with us, or we're going, you stay here, and we'll see you when we get back. And, you know, sometimes we'll be sitting on the couch and say, wow, we've had a long day of work. We've worked in the garden so hard. We've canned all day. We can just sit here and stay home. And sometimes we did, and that was probably the wrong thing to do. But you know what? We need to be in the Father's house, because he said to assemble ourselves. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves. Praise the Lord. And so much as we see the day approaching, and we all agree this is definitely the last days. And, Brother Yearwood, I'm not going to be weary doing the work for God. And sometimes Friday night will roll around and we'll say, well, we can't go this way and we can't go over here and we can't go do this. with people, because, you know, we've got a commitment. We're dedicated to the broadcast. And, you know, when we get on here and we finally get going, and at 12 midnight, when 2 hours have passed, we look at each other and we turn off the telephone and we look at each other and say, praise the Lord. I thank God that we went ahead and we preached his word. It was another opportunity. He could come again. He's coming again. But
yes.
Morning. Praise the Lord. And, you know, since I've been on this and I've been trying to minister this word, we've already had 2 phone calls. Praise God. And, you know, they don't know that we're on a broadcast on Tuesday night, but that's another thing that would want to try to stop us. The doorbell rings when we try to go pray. The phone starts ringing when we try to go pray or study his word. But we're going to keep on keeping on for Jesus,
yes,
because he and the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I believe Brother Green wants to say something, if that's all right, Brother Yearwood.
Okay, go ahead.
Praise God. It's good to be on here. It sounded like Joanna had a good message there about the woman at the well. You know, Jesus said he needed to go to Samaria. And when he did, he went to that well, praise God. And he was there to meet a need of a woman that, you know, everybody looked down on that woman, no doubt. The town probably would look at that woman and say she's not good for anything. But, you know, Jesus didn't look at her that way, praise God. The Bible tells us that he's a present help in the time of trouble. Here was a woman that, you know, a lot of the churches probably wouldn't have nothing to do with. They would say, well, she's double married. Or they would probably say, no, she's more than that. She'd been married 5 times, and the one she has now is not her own. Praise God. So they look down on this woman. You know, a lot of times people, I look down on other people, and maybe they ain't been through nothing like these other people have. Maybe they ain't had the hard times and the trials like some people have. And, you know, we better not look down our nose at people, but we better try to reach down and pick them up. And Jesus was that kind of man, praise God. And he was a present help in the time of trouble. He would come when they needed him, praise God. And he saw the heavy load that was on that woman, praise God, and all the accusations probably that followed her. They talked about her probably in the store. They talked about her down at the ball game or whatever it was they had going on in the marketplace. They probably, when she came by, they talked about that woman. But, you know, Jesus saw a need, and that woman came to the well about the middle of the day, and she came to draw water. And the middle of the day was not the time when women came to draw water, praise God, because that was the hot part of the day. But I'd say she went there. You know, Joanna was talking about people being depressed. She was probably depressed. And she went there to get away from everybody else, probably. She thought, I'll go in the middle of the day. There won't be nobody at the well. Sure enough, it didn't sound like there was anybody at the well, but there sat Jesus on that well. Praise God. And he had sent them disciples into town to get food, and they came back and saw him talking with that woman. Well, they didn't understand why he'd be talking to a woman, praise God, of Samaria. Praise God, because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. We find out later in that chapter, but she knew a little something about Jesus. She knew that the Messiah was coming, and she said, when he cometh, he'll tell us all things. And Jesus said, I that speak unto them am he. I am the Messiah. Praise God. You know, she left her water pot, and back, downtown she went, praise God, running. I believe she ran into town. I don't believe she slow-poked along, but she had something burning on the inside of her heart, and she went and told the town people that depression she had left, praise God. But God, he'll lift our heavy load. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, she ran into town. She was taking up the cross, so to speak. You know, he hadn't went to the cross yet, but she was doing the work of an evangelist. She had a message. She had found the Messiah, She had found the one that they'd been looking for all these years, and she had heard things about religion. She heard how that the fathers around her there said, in the mountain is a place that we ought to worship. She said, you say that in Jerusalem is the place that the Jews say, Jerusalem is the place that we ought to worship. Praise God. But Jesus said, the time is come, the time is, now is that you should worship the Father. They that worship him must worship him in the spirit and in the truth. And praise God, she had got a message from the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I believe from that day on, she began to worship God. That she began to thank God that I have met the Master. I've met the one that was sent to come. I've met the man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? That was her message when she ran back into town. Praise God. So I believe that heavy load was lifted, and I believe, you know, she had that, if a person could be born again before that Christ went to the cross, I believe she had that experience of being born of the Spirit of God. I believe something got a hold of her that day. You know, I'll tell you, the Spirit of God, it comes into our life if we'll kneel at the cross and we'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that he is the Son of God. And I was thinking, Brother Yearwood, I won't say too much tonight, but, you know, I was thinking of John the Baptist, or not John the Baptist, but John, or Nicodemus over there in John chapter 3, went to Jesus by night, and he had a problem. He wanted to know, how do you do these miracles that you do? How can you do that? How can you heal blinded eyes? When people had blindness, Jesus would heal them. He would heal them with the deaf ears. He would heal them. The lame walked, and the dumb, they spoke, and the devils came out of them that was possessed of devils. He was lifting those that was heavy laden, and was bowed down. The woman was bowed down, came to Jesus, and Jesus straightened her back. Praise God. She straightened up when she came to Jesus. Praise God. He said she was a daughter of Abraham. And, you know, but Jesus saw her in that kind of condition, and he healed her body. Praise God. And I tell you, they came to Jesus, and as the Bible said that he touched them in one place. I believe it was in Matthew chapter 8 that he touched them and healed their bodies, and they were, liberated from that torment that they had been in maybe for years and years, that they were set free. And the Bible said, whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. He met many people and told them, go, sin no more, after that he had healed their bodies. So it lets me know that we don't have to sin today, Brother Yearwood. It lets me know that we can live right if we want to, that God gave us a free will, and if we want to, we can live right. But if we want to, we can also live the wrong way, and we'll have a payday coming someday on the way that we've lived and who we served. If you serve sin, you're serving the devil. But if you work righteousness and you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then and you believe on him and repent of your sins, and you have eternal life, and you have the Spirit of Christ in you, praise God, and you'll have a mansion over in glory one of these days, praise God. But Nicodemus come to Jesus by night, and he wanted to know, and Jesus said, that you must be born again. He said, no man can see the kingdom of God, praise God, unless he is born of the Spirit, unless he's been born again. I want you to know tonight, that's what opened my eyes when I came to Christ. And, you know, I had the veil upon me. I didn't know anything about God. But once I found Jesus, that veil departed from me, and I began to read the scriptures, and I began to see things I've never seen before, and I began to realize this is real, that Jesus is the Son of God, and he is a miracle worker, and he's the problem solver tonight. And when I have a problem, I go to Jesus. When I need something, I go to Jesus. I was thinking, you know, about, I was thinking over there in the 11th chapter, I was thinking about Martha and Mary. Praise God. The Bible says here, it says in the 11th chapter of John, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So, we see here that Mary and Martha had a problem. Their brother was sick. And, you know, Jesus didn't jump up and run over there and lay hands on him and heal him right then, because Jesus already knew what was going to happen. I believe he'd already been praying to his Heavenly Father, and he'd gotten direction from God the Father and had told him what to do. Praise God. And we see here in the fourth verse, when Jesus heard that, what they had said, in other words, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Amen. Praise God. So,
thank you, Jesus.
Jesus was a friend of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Praise God. Verse 6 says, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He didn't jump up and run to go. And sometimes, you know, you have to wait for God. You have to pray about things and wait for God. You know, people don't understand why a preacher or evangelist or somebody, you know, don't just jump up and go pray for somebody. Just they call, you know, for prayer. But, you know, sometimes God has a plan. The other day we went and prayed for a lady, and she had called for us to come. But for some reason, we didn't get to come right away. And we felt led to go right after church Sunday morning. And we drove over there. And, you know, while we was talking to her, she was sick, very sick. And she was home. But she was walking around, but she was very feeble. And while we was there, her daughter came in, a backslider, had backslid on God and was away from God. Her daughter and the daughter's boyfriend come in. Praise God. And I told, when they came to the door, I thought, let's just wait just a minute, and then we'll pray and we'll go. We had been there a while. You know, we went and we, after they came in, we went over, knelt down beside this lady. She was sitting in a chair, and we began to pray. And, you know, we prayed. And we also prayed for those that were not saved, that was her relation, that God would reach out and would save them, bring them in, and get them out of their sins. And, you know, I know her daughter heard us pray. And I wonder how she felt when we prayed. But you see, sometimes God has a plan. It looked like we was a little late getting there. But you know what? I believe we was just right on time. And Jesus was right on time when he came to that tomb that day where Lazarus was laying. Praise God. Martha came out to meet him. And Martha said, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Praise God. And Mary sat still in the house. And, you know, Martha went back and said, Mary, Jesus is here. And she ran out to meet him. Praise God. She was the one that I believe that had broken, well, or would soon be the one to break that alabaster box upon his head. And that precious ointment would run down, fill the house. Praise God. And praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, Jesus is alive and well. He's a friend out there that will help you in your time of need. You know, he's not right now raising a lot of people from the dead. You know, Christian people die, and there's one or two here and there that gets raised up from the dead, and maybe more than what I know about, and I'm sure there is, praise God, around this world. But I tell you, he is the resurrection and the life. And I tell you, the loved ones that we had to say goodbye down to here, we had to say goodbye to them, you know, before they left. But you know what? They've gone. If their heart was right with God, you know, they've gone to a better place. And one day, there'll be a great getting up morning, and all them burdens will be rolled away, praise God. And all that crying will turn to gladness, and it'll turn to joy on that great resurrection day, praise God. And if you're out there tonight and you're not saved, I want you to find you an altar. I want you to find a place and turn your life to Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection and the life, and he's the way of salvation, and there's no other way. He can lift your heavy burden today. He can help you in your time of trouble. He stood there at the tomb of Lazarus, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And after that, he had looked to heaven, and he prayed, and he said, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. Praise God. And I tell you, Jesus hears us when we pray. And if we pray in the will of God, I tell you, Jesus is going to answer. He didn't say that answer would come today. He didn't say that it'd come tomorrow. But he said it would come. Praise God. And I tell you, he knows when to answer our prayers, knows when to move on the situations that we have and the troubles that's coming our way. And I tell you, we need to stand strong in the Lord, because Jesus, he'll come down that, you know, there's a song. There's a promise coming down your dusty road. You know, Jesus walked them their roads there in Galilee there. Praise God. And along the seashore, and they talk about the prince and the sand, and talk about the time that there was two prints and then there was one. And somebody said, "Why one?" That was when Jesus was carrying us, praise God, carrying that man or woman or whoever that was. But he's got us in the palm of his hand. If we'll stay with Jesus, there'll be blessings come your way, praise God. And just stand for Christ and let the world go by. Love not the world and the things that are in the world, but love Jesus with all your heart. And I'm going to turn it back over to, you know, Lazarus came forth that day, praise God. He came out of that tomb, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Praise God. He had lifted that heavy burden that was on Martha and Mary that day, praise God. And now I want to turn it back over to you, Brother Yearwood. It's been good to be on your broadcast tonight.
Praise the Lord. I appreciate that. Appreciate the wonderful word. You know, you remind me there of a couple of blessings that happened this week to us. You know, I'll give a praise report, then we'll let Tim sing. And I think Betty's got some prayer requests and everything she wanted to make known there. But this week we had a couple of bills that was kind of pushing us. We've done getting letters on them and everything. And I called them, and I called the first one, and talked to them, and they said, let me see here just a minute. So they looked, and they told me on the phone the same subject. They said, well, said, just don't never mind the bill that you owe us. Said, we just wiped the slate clean, so we just clean it completely off. And it was quite a bit of money that they just wiped off, and I thank God for that. Then had another, I got a letter through mail, and I looked at it, and I said, well, I've done paid this bill. So I went and I called them, and they said, well, said, what happened was that we you paid in one office and said it's supposed to go to another office, and they were charging me extra money on it. And they told me, said, just forget it. Said it's done, taken care of. You know, that's God. That's just God.
That's right.
Running a miracle through their force. But I prayed in the most of all for that first miracle. He just wiped it out. I mean, just cleaned the plate on it, and I thank God. It was quite a bit of money, but God heard, he answered, and they answered, and they, you know, God's always doing something good for us if we'll just let him. So I'm going to let him sing for us. Praise the Lord. Just worship the Lord with him as he sang.
Thank you, Jesus.
to the well in the middle of the day, searching for something that was never searched away. But someone was waiting there, and much to her surprise, a simple conversation raised questions in her mind. When she knew the talk was over, she knew he was the one, for he had seen right through her and knew all that she had done. He gave her more than she could imagine, something more than she could ever dream, something more than this world could offer, something more, something more, something more than she had ever hoped for, something more than she had ever known, something more beyond comprehension, something more, something more. You can come to this well any time of day if you're looking for something that will take your pain away. Jesus will be waiting there, and don't you be surprised of a simple conversation raise questions in her mind. The water dweller welling up unto eternal life. He'll give you more than you can imagine, something more than you could ever dream, something more than this world could offer, something more, something more, something more than you could ever hope for, something more than you had ever known, something more beyond comprehension, something more, something more, something more, something more.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song. So I'll let Betty come and give the prayer request and everything right now.
I just want to praise God for what he's been doing at our church. I've got a praise report that I've been waiting on God to move on for a long time. We had a healing service at church Sunday night, and I was prayed for, and God touched my back. I've had sciatic nerve problems, osteoporosis, mm-hmm. two bulging discs, and deterioration in my back. And God has healed it. I haven't had no pain in it. And Lloyd Ray can testify to that because he hasn't had to rub it or nothing. But I just thank God for what he's doing. And I've had that pain in my back for over 10 years now. And I just thank God that he has come on the scene and took it away. And I've got some more praise reports. 82-year-old man was saved at our church, and he was baptized on Sunday, and he said he wished he would have done it a long time ago. And then Catherine, the one that had the little, she had gotten saved a month ago, and she was baptized on Sunday. God's still moving on her little baby, and every week she comes back telling that the baby's been healed of something else. So I just want to give God the praise for that. Yes. And we have many prayer requests tonight. Got a lot of people that just barely hanging on to life, so We need to remember all them tonight. Fred Brannon, Keith Green, Edith Hampton, and Kay Hurd. All of them have cancer, so we need to remember them tonight in our prayers. And May Talent broke her ankle. And let's pray for all the listeners out there that God will meet their needs. And let's remember little Jeremiah that God will continue to touch him and everything. And Sister Green, how's Bobby Sinner's mother doing?
She's back there in the back right now, but she's really been fighting a lot of pain in her body, and she's not doing all that well. She needs prayer, so remember her.
Okay, we got Debbie Samples, and remember all that family. Remember Brother John tonight, and Eddie Bolton that comes on here with us. He's needing a miracle in his back. I know that if God can do it for me, he can do it for Eddie. So let's remember Eddie tonight. He's been in a lot of pain. And let's remember Frida's request about the one that has COPD and the daughter and the granddaughter. And remember Frida tonight.
Yes.
And Sister Vivian, remember her. She needs God to move on her. And Joshua and Ezekiel, and just remember Brother Jeff Englandrock that come on with us earlier. He's got that feeding ministry and shelter ministry, and let's just pray that God will meet the need to where he don't have to close his shelter and his feeding kitchen down. I know that God will meet the need on that.
Yes.
And we have a lot of people at the church that are in need of prayer. We got Bonnie Brown, Junior Brown, Bill Cook, Peggy Cook, Lorene Crawford, Lynette Everhart, Johnny Levengood, June Mosier, Wayne Morgan, Melvin Martin, Tony Yates, Randy Wilson, Lodima Tyler. Let's remember my sister Margaret and her family tonight. They have some needs. Roy and Martha Sexton need healing in their body. Kimber Ann Russell, Clifford Snyder, Murphy Reagan, our little grandson. He's needing a complete healing in his body. But we thank God for what he's already done for him. Whitney Nichols and Martha Pierman. All of these people have needs, so let's just lift them all up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Sister Betty?
Yeah?
Pray for Sister Florence Centers. She has cancer, and it's spread throughout her body, and she is now bedridden. Friday was her birthday, her 87th birthday. And they've called in hospice, and they started giving her the pain meds for the morphine. And unless God gives her a miracle, it's not looking good. So keep her in prayer.
Okay. Let's also remember Bob and Clara Hicks. We heard from him here recently, and Sister Clara is just getting weaker and weaker. So we just need to lift them up in prayer. Sister Clara has a birthday coming up the 28th of this month. And she makes it till then. She'll be 95 years old. So let's remember that prayer. Does anybody else have a prayer recall?
I do.
Okay.
I've got a friend of mine. Her name is Rachel Singletary, and let's also remember her mom, and I also got an unspoken request.
Okay. Brother John, you have any?
Yes, we have a Miss Lois Brodnack. She's 82 years old. She has pleurisy, and she's touching the Lord. I just want to give an update on my son. He is out of special care into a regular room. And so I pray the Lord for that. God moved on him very much so yesterday. And I want to thank everybody and all the prayer lines and all the ministries that are here. And I wanted to apologize to Brother and Sister Green for not being able to make it on the broadcast.
Me and my wife have both been up. Well, she'd been up about 43 hours straight or longer, and I've been up, and we were waiting to get on there, and she stayed up to, I just laid down about half hour before the broadcast come on, and she woke me up, and I got up, and I got everything I was going to just broadcast from my room, and I broadcasted back to sleep, so I apologize for that, but we thank the Lord that what God's doing, what he's going to do, and he's broadcasting. I was just able, God's given us the opportunity to reach millions and millions of people.
Yes. Praise God. Brother John, would you lead the prayer?
Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you, we praise you, we worship you. God, we thank you all across this land, all across this globe, and Lord, abundantly that you're reaching out. Father, these ones with cancer, we just believe this cancer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy upon these ones. Lord, we hear about the ones that are in their 80s and in their 90s, that Lord, you're giving them long life as you promised. And in the name of Jesus, you continue to give them strength, continue to give them one more day, one more hour, one more minute to, for your glory and your honor, Father, in the name of Jesus, that life not only the other ones, but those, Lord. And just like this young lady that was lost and undone, Lord, with her family, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, as the prayers go up, there be intercession, that there be these young people that will come in, amen, to the kingdom of God. And just like the one brother said, that one more opportunity for another soul to come in, for the heavens to rejoice, Father. Pray that, Lord, that you touch each and every one, Lord, meet these unspoken requests, meet the financial requests, meet the needs, amen, for thy people. You are the God of supply. You are the God of provision. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the healing that you've done all ready what you're going to do, Father. Continue, Lord, to bless the broadcast. Let your word not return your void. Father, just even more abundantly. Father, you send your word that you shall do exceedingly abundantly above which we ask or think. Lord, let us receive a good report for all these things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Brother John?
Yeah.
Is Sister Deb around there? She like to obey the Lord?
She's in the other room. She got her hands full with the little one. I don't know if you're with the little one broadcasting yet.
Praise the Lord. Okay.
Hang on a second. Let me see something. Hang on just a minute. She can
sing if she wants to.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
I guess she got going back to the other room there, so maybe she can get on there next week. And that's what we're looking for. She, missed her not being on the broadcast and stuff with me and down through the years, but she's been on a couple of them, and appreciate that. But I believe she's supposed to be on every one of them, and so we're going to get that working out. I was praying about that today, that where she'd be able to get on the Tuesday night and the Friday night broadcast with us and get back in there where she needs to be. Amen. I appreciate the opportunity.
Praise the Lord. That's she's welcome to come on anytime she wants to there.
I appreciate that.
I know this has done been read tonight, and it's come unto me, but, I feel like, we can still go over it and come up
Amen.
With some other things,
Amen.
There's a lot of times, I was sitting here just thinking whenever listening to all the preaching that's going on and everything, there's people are looking for something, but they're looking in the wrong direction. They're looking
Amen.
For the wrong thing. The Word tells us here in Matthew 11 and 28 and 29, it says, and 30, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Reading that verse right there and just to thinking, a lot of times the people out here in the world, they're looking for something. They're not looking toward Jesus. They're looking, a lot of them have turned to pot, a lot of them turned to all kinds of drugs and all kinds of dope and everything else like that. But, praise God, if they ever turn their head toward Jesus. I was thinking, you know, one time that I was looking in the wrong direction. I was looking in the wrong place. And a lot of times I would look and I would find some kind of a drug or something other, but I wasn't finding the right piece. Whenever the drugs wore off, I still had the same problems. I still I had even more troubles. I would be sick and afflicted and all kinds of problems was up on me. But whenever I did turn and I looked toward Jesus, I praise God, I found peace. I found deliverance. I found that the weight that would leave me. I found that, praise God, that the weight that I had on my shoulders, I took a flight. And I was telling the brother that was on there earlier today, I talked to him on the phone. I was telling him, I said, you know, I felt the drugs and the alcohol. I felt the paint thinner and everything that I had in my system. I come out of my body, going out through the top of my head, and went right out through that little Volkswagen car. I praise God, and I found, like right here in 29, it said, take my yoke up on you and learn of me, for I am meek and lonely in heart, and ye shall find rest in your soul, you know, and to your soul, you know. Praise God, I'm glad of that day I did. I found that scripture right there to be true. I found rest unto my soul. I didn't have to worry about where was I going to get the next fit, because I found Jesus. Hallelujah. I found that my burdens was light. I found that I didn't have to wake up the next morning from a hangover. I found it's like a Sunday night. We were in a good Holy Ghost service, and I remember, I remember what all happened, but I remember how to get up twice out of the floor because the Holy Ghost come down and it slayed me out in the spirit. And when I woke up and when I come out from there, and the next morning when I got up, I didn't have a hangover. I praise God because I looked toward Jesus. I found him several years ago. I'm glad, praise God, that I found Jesus. And that's what this world needs tonight. They need to turn their eyes and they need to fix their minds upon Jesus. They need to come unto him. Hallelujah. Yeah. And look into verse 30. It says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. I tell you what, praise God, the lightness of Jesus, the light of God, come down on you. My friend, you can feel free. You don't have to worry about where are you going to get your next fix, because he's already there. Praise God. All you got to do is just to look up and say, Lord, I come unto me. I tell you what, just like this week, I was testifying a while ago about the miracles that God give us. I tell you what, it's something. Whenever you think about all the problems that you have, and whenever you look at all the things that comes your way, you get disheartened. But whenever you start looking toward Jesus, I tell you what, all I could do, and all Betty could do, whenever they told us that we just wipe it off, we just clean the slate for you. You don't owe nothing. All we could do was just praise God. I took off the phone. We begin to praise God because God come on the scene one more time, and he's still doing that today. My friend, he'll come on the scene. He will clear the slate. He will make things free for you. I tell you what, that's all we need to do is look to Jesus, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Look into Luke 14 and verse 23, and it says,
And the Lord said unto these servants, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You know, that's what we're trying our best to do. That's the reason why we went to the streets the other day. Take the gospel to the streets. That's the reason why that we're on this radio broadcast here tonight, is to take the gospel out to the world. There's a lot of people that will never go into a church door, but they'll sit before their internet. They'll sit before the radios, and they will listen to the gospel. My friend, there's one to water, and one to plant the seed, and one to water, and God to give the increase. That's what it's all about. That's what we need to be doing tonight, is to tell the world that Jesus come on the scene, that they can have this light. And said, come unto me, hallelujah. I'm glad tonight that I come unto the Lord in 1975. And I tell you what, you need, if you don't know the Lord, this 2013 would be a great time for you to come unto the Lord and to say, Lord, have mercy on me. Come into my life and forgive me of my sins and my trespasses. I tell you, he's sitting up there. He's going to give you a miracle. That's the greatest miracle that you can ever have, is to repent of your sins and get him in your life. Praise God, he comes into your life. My friend, you will have a different outlook on things, and you will have a different feeling on your shoulder because of the miracle of that yoke that you've been yoked with of sin that's been binding you down. It will set you free. It will have no more control over you. And praise God, he said in his word that he put his put our sins in the sea of forgetful, to never be remembered against us. I tell you what, he'll cast them off from you, and he'll never remember them again. Ain't that just like God? He is big enough that he will forgive you of your sins, and the things that you've done in the past will be in the past. They'll never be brought up again. And I tell you what, I'm thanking God, hallelujah, that we have that opportunity, that we're serving a God that is able to forgive us of all of our sins and forgive us of all of our trespasses. And let's look into 1 John 5 and verse 3. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Hallelujah. I thank God tonight, hallelujah, that his commandments are not grievous. His commandments, my friend, is free. They're lovely. They're peace and they're joy. And it's all, hallelujah. Praise God. As somebody mentioned a while ago about the fruit of the Spirit, hallelujah. I want the fruits of the Spirit working in my life. I want people, whenever they look at me, they don't just see me, but they see Jesus. I want people to know, praise God, that Jesus, that I've been in touch with Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, there's too many today as a wandering around out here in the world, and they say that they're a Christian. But, my friend, they don't have no fruits to bear it. And that's a sad situation. If we're not bearing the fruits of God, we're people. Could see them. There's something wrong. We need to go back to the altar and stay there until we come in contact with Jesus. Just like the people over there in that town, they seen that Peter and James and John and them had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. They seen that they were different, huh? And they said they're our Christians, huh? That's where the word Christian first, come out of Antioch, huh? My friend, I'm going to tell you, he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, he don't ever change, I'm so thankful, praise God, that God is still God, and he ain't never changed, if there's any change done, it's you and I that changed, and we need to change for the good. There's always room to move up the ladder. There's always room for us to climb a little bit taller. I tell you what, I'm thankful that God tonight, I praise God that we can go up to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on me. And God has mercy because he said that his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. I tell you, I want to thank God tonight for everything that he's done for us. I want to thank God tonight for this service that we're having right here tonight. This is a church service that we're having, praise God. I tell you, there's too many shows, too many people are putting on. But thank God this word, when it goes forth, it will not return to void, but it will come as what it's sent forth to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to ask Betty to read some here for me. Hallelujah.
Isaiah 55, starting with verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we noticed there in verse 1 it said to come and buy. Hallelujah. You know, without any money, praise God. You know, I tell you what, my friends and I, Jesus is telling us to come unto him. It don't cost us nothing to come unto him but just the world. And I tell you what, whenever we give up the world, we've traded the world for a kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'll come again, and I will receive you into myself. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight. I praise God that we have traded the world for Jesus. I'm glad tonight that I've traded the world for a mansion. Hallelujah. That's sitting up there in the kingdom of God. I tell you what, them that will overcome the world, he said he would get with them. I just overcome the world that was set in the throne with him. I tell you what, I'm looking forward for one day after a while to be able to walk up there and sit down in the throne with God and be his son and be praise God to do the things that he would order us to do. You know, we're not going to just be a sitting there, I don't believe. I believe we're going to be working for him. There's going to be ministering angels. There's going to be people that's going to have to do something. I'll tell you what, we work to down here. We work to please God down here. And we get up with him, we still going to be able to worship him and praise him. I tell you what, I just want to sit at the foot of the throne for me and yours and just praise my Lord for everything that he's brought me through. I want to just praise him for everything that he's done for me. I believe that we will. I'll just be able to just glorify him. It's going to be wonderful to sit on that crystal clear sea that comes out from the midst of that throne. And I tell you what, I realize that that tree, praise God, that tree of life, it's going to be yielding its leaves every there for the healing of that nation.
for the healing of that land. It's going to be wonderful, my friend, to think about that we will be able, praise God, just to sit down there and just reach up and get hold of the limb if anything comes wrong, and just take that leave, hallelujah, for the healing, praise God, hallelujah.
Isaiah 55:3, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt come, behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Amen. Praise God. You know, I tell you what, that's what he's telling the wicked man to do, just to forsake his wicked ways and turn up to the Lord. You know, that's what it's all about tonight, just this world. If we would all, the 2 Chronicles 7:14, I believe it is, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land, forgive their sins and heal their land. You know, I tell you what, that's what this world needs to do, my friend, is to turn from their wicked ways. I tell you, God destroyed this world one time with water. He said that all he could see was sin continuously coming up before him. But my friend, I'm so thankful tonight that he has the mercy, that he is enduring the mercy for us, because if he would look down here and if he destroyed this world for sin then, he's ready to destroy it again. And he said the next time he put a rainbow in the sky, telling Noah, he said it won't be destroyed no more by water, but it's going to be destroyed the next time by fire and brimstone. I tell you, God would start raining fire and brimstone down. He would destroy this world and everything that was in it. But praise God, he has the mercy tonight. And he's given us, like the brother that was earlier saying, he's a praying, God, just give me another day to get my loved ones in, to get my friends in. You know, I believe if God's children would quit praying that prayer, God would soon come back. But he's hearing our prayers. He's honoring our prayers because I've got a lot of love. I lost loved ones, and I know that each and every listener out there has got a loved one that's lost. I know that you've got someone that needs to pray, needs to turn from their evil ways and turn and seek God. I tell you, it's a time, and it's a high time that we get busy trying to reach our families, trying to reach our friends, and tell him that there's a time of coming that they're going to be shut off. And when they're shut off, it's going to be too late to think about ever repenting because when the Spirit of God is taken out of this world and he starts raining fire and brimstone down, it'll be too late then. It'll be like Noah whenever Noah entered into the ark. And it becomes, it started raining. People started running and knocking on the door.
hollered, Noah, Noah let me in, but Noah couldn't because God had shut the door. And the word tells us over in Revelation over there, I believe it's about the 8th chapter, I can't remember the exact word, but he said that God would shut the door no man could open, and he would open the door that no man can shut. My friend, whenever he opens that door, is the time to hear his voice. He said, them that have a ear, let them hear what the Spirit say unto the church this day. My friend, you hear the voice of God today calling you. You hear Lord Yearwood, and you heard Brother and Sister Green and the other sister, Sister Frieda, Brother John, and the other brother was on here, but you heard all of our voices. But you know one thing, it's not our voice, it's Jesus that's speaking your heart, that's calling you for repentance. It's time that you turn your life around and say, Lord, I want you to come into my life. It's you, Lord, that's knocking at my heart's door. It's time that you kneel down right where you're at. It's time, if you're in the bed and you can't kneel down, just to raise your eyes toward heaven and say, Lord, have mercy on me, for I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to the devil's hell. It's a time that you say that and really mean it with your heart and say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and my trespasses. And the Lord will. He'll wipe your sins white as snow. Praise God. I tell you, I think we got that scripture. Praise God, where you take and make your sins as white as snow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyway, that's all right. We'll read this verse here.
Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Amen. Praise God. You know, as Brother Green was speaking there a while ago, and Sister Green was speaking there a while ago about the woman at the well, you know, praise God, that water is freely. It's freely, my friend. Jesus is giving it out freely tonight to you. If you'll just only come to him and call upon his name, he will give you that water freely. And praise God. We got another verse here. Hallelujah.
It's Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
Amen. Praise God. That's the verse there that I was wanting to get. You know, God always brings them around. You know, I tell you what, our sins, he will make them as white as snow, my friend. He'll make yours as white as snow if you'll just turn it all over to him. So I'm going to let Tim come and sing a song again. And just
can I do something before you do that, Brother Yearwood?
Yeah, go ahead, sister.
I feel somebody has got a bad headache. I mean, I was just sitting here and I was fine, but my head started hurting. So I think there's somebody out in the listening there that's got a bad headache. So let's just pray for them, okay?
Okay.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come in agreement right now, Lord. Father, the one's got that bad headache, Lord, we rebuke that headache right now. Father, Lord, you know who they are and where they're at. Lord, we just ask you, God, that you will heal that headache right now, Father. Make it whole, Lord. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. In Jesus' holy name. Thank you. Praise God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you,
Jesus. Just as I am open out of but as I was crossed for me, and that thou didst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I yes, from simple to Lord of Jesus, for salvation. It's as simple as ABC. A, admit you are a sinner, because all have sinned, says Romans 3:23. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and we must repent of our sins. B, believe. Believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave according to the Scriptures. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Salvation is given, and it's the root of my grace and faith in Jesus Christ, for the Ephesians 2:8. See, confess. 1 John 1:9 says, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess Christ before men. Matthew 10:32 says, whosoever thou pourest out confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just as I am, thou wilt receive. Well, come hard and cleanse freely, because thy promise I believe. Oh, Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song. We've got some more reading here to do.
Luke 20, starting with verse 1. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders, and spake unto him, saying, tell us by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? Bear with me just a minute.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Did you lose it?
Yeah, just a minute. I'm in the wrong thing. I'm sorry. Luke 19, starting with verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publican, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little in stature. And he came before, and he ran before, and climbed up into a sycamore tree and to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place and looked up, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man come to seek and save that which was lost.
Amen. Praise God. Appreciate that wonderful reading. You know, Jesus went and found Zacchaeus climbing up this sycamore tree, you know. And Zacchaeus had a desire to see Jesus, and he come down because the Lord called him down. And today, my friend, you may not be climbing a sycamore tree, but God is calling you, and you need to repent of your sins. And I just thank God for this service tonight. I thank God for everything that's been done or said on it. So I want to say that now next week we're going to have to be off from here, but now the broadcast will go on. We got Brother and Sister Green, Lord's willing, they're going to be filling in for us next Tuesday night and taking over the service for us. And so they'll still need help just like we do. So call in and be a part of it, help them, and just worship the Lord with them in spirit and truth. And they've also got a broadcast on Friday night. So I want to let Brother and Sister Green one come in there and tell them about the Friday night broadcast.
Okay, Brother Earwood, we have a broadcast. It's the Macedonian Call Around the Globe is the name of it. And it goes from 10 o'clock till 12 and we're p.m. And we'd just be glad for anybody to call in. If you are listening to the program tonight, you got a scripture to read or anything like that, or preach a little while, we'll be glad to have you. Back to you, Brother Earwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. So, call in and see our rhythm. Praise the Lord.
I'd like to say this. Anybody that would like to give to the Harvest Time Church of God in West Virginia, Charleston, West Virginia, Brother Jeff Inklinrock's church, the brother that was on here with us a while ago, will be greatly appreciated. He's got a soup kitchen, and he's got a homeless shelter. And so the Lord lays it up on you to help him. The address is Harvest Time Church of God, 1704 Washington Street West, Charleston, West Virginia.
Praise the Lord.
And if you need more information, just contact us.
Praise the Lord. Just contact us, and we'll give you the information that you need there to be able to help him. And I know he'd appreciate it because he heard what he's doing. And I tell you what, it touches my heart to hear that they've been 101 nights straight Holy Ghost services. I tell you, that's a revival and a half. 101
Yes,
nights. I've had them to go 20 nights, but I've never had one to go 100 and something. That's over 3 months long revival every single night. So,
yep.
You know, God's doing something.
Yes, he is.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Anybody else got anything to say? We've got 1 minute left there. So, Sister Frieda, you got anything you'd like to say?
I done done everything. Just
okay.
Keep me in prayer.
Oh, we'll do that. We've got about 43 seconds left there, so we'll just go ahead and say good night to everybody. We appreciate everybody for calling in, and God bless you, and we'll talk to you there next time you're there. So God bless you, and we love every one of you.
Love you,
bye-bye.
Too. Have a great
bless
night.
You all.
Okay, God bless you too.